Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support. Welcome everyone to another special episode of Brainstorm Brewery. We're here at episode number 62, and we happened to lose a co-host, Ryan. He decided to quit the cast, so we got a replacement. We got everyone's favorite cosplayer here. We got Christine Sprankle.
Hello.
How are you doing? Glad you could join us.
Thank you for having me.
So if you people don't know who she is, you might know her from her famous Elspeth cosplay that she did at Worlds in 2011. It was a major hit and just brought her to the front of the magic world. So she's here to tell us some of her escapades and whatnot.
You almost indicated that we would be replacing Ryan with Christine permanently, and I don't want to get people's hopes up that high.
Right.
That's actually not a thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can't. I got planes walking to do. Like, I can't just stay committed to one thing.
So you were at Vegas. How did you like Vegas?
Vegas was, like, absolutely insane. It was amazing. First of all, like, the walking the planes thing, like, I was going to die of happiness over that.
That was actually pretty good. He found a good place for you to fit in there as a character, and I thought that was well done. So yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was one of the best episodes he's done too. Just in general.
Yeah. Yeah, he really, like, when, cause I pretty much asked him, I was like, I want to be in that.
Right.
Like, cause everybody's like, oh, you know, did they like hire, no, they didn't hire me, nothing. I straight up just was very forward and was like, I'm going to be in this Walking the Plains episode some way, somehow, either like you guys are walking by and in the background, I'm like flailing my arms as like Amara or something. They're like, well, let's see what we can do. And then I guess they had to go through a bunch of like processes of getting okay from Wizards to have me on. Cause they didn't just want me to like be on and kind of go crazy or something. I don't know.
For people who haven't seen it, it's one of the best episodes. And what he did with her was, you just have to watch it. But there was sort of like you were like a therapist, I guess, interviewing him at the beginning and the end. And yeah, that was really cool. So,
but
we'll link in the show notes where you can actually find that. So you can watch it if you haven't yet. Cause it's really good.
Yeah, but just to let people know, I'm not an actress of any type. All the comments in so far, they're like, oh, they should have hired a better actress. No, I'm not an actress. I just make the costumes and wear them. That's it.
So you just have natural talent?
I don't know. I really didn't think I was really nervous like the entire time. So I thought I was kind of like, okay, to put it lightly. The rest of the time, I was just, like, freaking out. So I was like, oh, my God. Because they filmed it in my hotel room, which sounds really dirty. But my hotel room looked the best. And so I was just, like, freaking out, like, before they came, like, oh, my God. I, like, had, like, cosplay stuff all over the room. I was like, oh, God, they can't see me like this. Like, there's, like, Liliana half, like, splattered on one side of the room and Brainstorm on the other. And I was like, oh, God, had to clean the room before they came. And then they were there. And I was like, oh, my God, it's Nathan. And I was, like, freaking out. And he's, like, freakishly tall.
Yes, he is. We met him in person.
Yeah, if nobody's met him, like, in person, he's, like, freakishly tall. And I don't know. That made me nervous, too.
So you weren't in Vegas a super long time. I feel like Saturday. You showed up like mid-afternoon Saturday, and I saw you in no fewer than 3 costumes over the course of like Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, it sucked. Like, our plane got delayed for like 6 hours because we took Southwest, and I guess the entire mainframe went down. So, like all over the United States, Southwest was down for 6 hours.
Ooh,
yeah. So we were supposed to arrive at our Vegas hotel at 11. We didn't get into our hotel in Vegas until 4 a.m.
Oh, yuck.
Sounds like a good time right there.
So.
Not when you have to be up early.
Yeah, I felt like I was just like a freaking wreck the entire weekend. I was so tired.
Well, I mean, it was a fun weekend for everyone. I'm sure you had a good time outside of that.
It was amazing. It was amazing. Like meeting, I met so many people. It was unreal. And like from all over too, literally all over the world. It was crazy.
Is that a pretty typical, obviously not the flight, but, besides that, a pretty typical weekend for you when you go out to the Magic tournaments?
Yeah, it's starting to like get like a rhythm almost of getting their costume. And then like everybody's like, oh, why don't you play like in the tournament? And I'm not really a huge tournament fan. I'm not very competitive at all. And
you play like FNMs and pre-releases and stuff like that, right?
Oh yeah, I do that. But like actual, like those, you know, like those events, like big, like GPs and stuff. I love the side events. I absolutely love side events. But like GP Vegas, I know the guy who runs all who ran the event, Timothy Shields, and for the entire weekend, he gave me free side events. So
how many side events did you play? Cause I heard about this special privilege that COD players get.
I didn't actually play that many just because I was running around so much, sadly. I don't even know. Now I'm trying to get, cause like 2 weeks after I had another thing called Anime Expo, and Timothy was also running that one, and I got free events to that one too. So I'm getting those two confused. I think altogether, it was a lot.
Now, did you do any Magic cosplaying at Anime Expo, or were you just like April O'Neil and that sort of thing?
I did Taysa Karlov, for mostly the nights. For some reason, every night when I would go play at the events, I would change into Taysa and walk around.
Oh, so you changed like in the middle of a day?
Yeah, multiple times.
So what is the process for getting ready for, you know, a giant weekend event like that where you're going and you're doing multiple costumes and all of that? I mean, how much work goes into that for you before you get there?
To get ready for an event like that, it's really stressful because especially when you're flying, I was freaking out the entire time. Like, please don't throw my luggage that hard. Cause those guys are just like chucking luggage up into the plane. And my costumes are in there and like, Jesus Christ, please don't break them. But it usually, I make like these huge lists of each part of the costume that I need. And I pretty much stuff everything into the bag and just keep on checking the list like over and over to make sure everything's in there. It's nothing really special, I guess. But I guess it's a lot different than like your typical Magic player. Cause like decks are last for me.
If you have room.
Yeah, pretty much. Like it was all like, all cards were on my carry-on. Like, and I only brought like, I brought exactly 5 pieces of regular clothing. and I had wow. two giant things, and it was all mostly Magic, and then 2 t-shirts, like 2 shorts, and 1 dress, and that was it.
Who needs regular clothing when you got 2 costume changes in the course of a day anyway?
Yeah, exactly. Like who gives a shit? Nobody wants to see me regular, nobody even recognize me in regular clothing anyways, so why bother?
So how did you, if you don't mind telling us, how did you get into, you know, cosplaying at Magic events in the first place? Have you played the game longer than you've cosplayed, or is it kind of the other way around?
Well, I've cosplayed for like 9 years, but I've played Magic for like 3. But I pulled an Elspeth, and I was like most cosplayers, when we were watching or seeing something, we're like, oh, I'm gonna make that. And so I was in the middle of this draft, and I showed my best friend. I was like, I pulled this card, and he's like, that's a really good card to pull. I was like, sweet, I'm gonna cosplay that. And then like, it took me like a good, like almost like 5 or 6 months to make my first Elspeth costume, which was absolutely craptacular. But it worked.
Well, it was so bad, it actually looked good from
I don't know. I guess that's just like a really picky like cosplayer thing. To me, I thought it was extra shit-tacular. Everybody was like, oh, it's great. And I was like, cool. Like, literally parts of it were falling off as I was walking into the event. So I was like, that works though. You know, as long as they don't see, I guess that's fine.
Shit-tacular. We gotta get that on a t-shirt. That's a good phrase.
But I don't know. I just randomly, like, my friends were like, oh, World is like this big thing. It's really cool. It's almost like a magic, like, you know, convention, but smaller, but really cool. Something like that. And I was like, oh, you know, cool. I'm totally gonna, like, dress up then, like I do at normal conventions. And I walked in, and of course there's absolutely nobody else dressed up.
Right.
And everybody's looking at me like, what the fuck did she, like, what? You can, like, literally see their faces, like, everybody doing, like, a weird double take, and I'm just, like, walking around, like, I don't know what to do now. And then I was like, oh, no, I wonder if this is, like, an E3 kind of thing where they don't allow cosplay, and they're about to kick me out. Because I honestly thought when they walked up to me, like, a big group of these really official-looking guys all wearing, like, these official-looking magic t-shirts walked up to me. And I was like, I'm going to get kicked out right now. And they were like, oh, this is the head art director of Magic. And this is, like, the creator of Magic, blah, blah. We love what you're doing. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I literally didn't know half their names because I'd only been, like, playing Magic for, like, a year or so.
Right.
And so all these people were walking up to me, like, after, like, the ice broke and, like, all of, like, the pros came up to me. Like, I think that's, like, my best known thing was that Elspeth guy, because I didn't know it was Brian Kibler. Because my friend was just like, it's that guy, Brian Kibler. I'm like, I don't know who that is. And he's like, that Elspeth guy, because he was doing Cobblade, like Cobblade was hardcore right then. And I was like, oh, okay, because I literally just made like a really, really crappy Cobblade deck. So I knew who he was talking about.
Would you describe it as shit-tacular?
I was going to say shit-tacular, but I didn't want to like overuse it already.
We have a 5 shit-tacular quota for the day.
Actually, Gathering Magic has imposed an artificial shit-tacular cap, and actually, I did our 5th shit-tacular just now.
That's it.
Sorry, guys.
Shit-tacular, that's the name of the week for finance.
Well, yeah, there wasn't not much finance that happened this week.
No, I didn't see anything at all.
So let's talk Theros then. Now, if you've only been playing a couple years, you don't remember the last block that was very focused on the flavor and not focused on making the cards good, and that was the Kamigawa block, which you have probably heard of because it's infamous and how kind of underwhelming it was.
I don't know. Love that block.
I like it too, just in terms of flavor, and it was a good block format, but it didn't really contribute anything to Standard, except for, you know, a few kind of overpowered cards. Now, all indications seem to, at least what we're hearing from Wizards, that it's going to be a good set mechanics-wise, but what do you think in flavor-wise? I noticed that you seem to be pretty excited about Elspeth, but that's not really anything new. Have you seen or heard anything you can talk about new that you're excited to be cosplaying, or do you know as little as the rest of us?
Yeah, I can't talk about it.
Oh, so you do know stuff that you can't talk about?
Not too much. Not really at all.
Well, that's fine. I'm not going to try to get you in trouble. Okay. It's good to know that there actually is stuff for someone to know, I guess.
But, I don't know. I think, like, a lot of Vorthos people like me are really, really excited. Because I think a lot of people in general, too, not just the Vorthos, because it's freaking Greek, like, flavor, like, mythology kind of. Like, they literally have one of the parts called, like, the River Nyx or something. And that's so exciting. Like, who doesn't know at least, like, a tiny little smidgen of Roman/Greek mythology and doesn't want that, like, in, like, their hands and play creatures like Hydras, you know? So I'm pretty excited. And I liked Kamigawa, too. Like, I have a ton of Kamigawa guards in my EDH deck, so either way it'll work for me. Fuck the rest of you.
Oh. Yeah, forget how playable it is. It'll be good flavor-wise. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping. I'm hoping they, like, manage to make it actually playable as well as good flavor-wise as Kamigawa was.
Oh, they will.
Well, I mean, talking about, you know, the flavor and tying into playability, what do you guys think about the you know, the hero's path, kind of the multi-stage progression, you know, starting with the pre-release and through the game days, all through the block. You know, they're kind of tying that flavor into those big in-store events. What do you guys think about that?
I think they're actually doing it right. Like the other times that they had these little mini games at pre-releases, like with Ravnica and, I believe with, Scars, where you got the infect people. It seemed like it was just not hitting on all cylinders. Like you kind of like could ignore the entire, you know, bonuses and it was like, you know, what's the point? There's no thrill at all besides us achieving them. And I felt that it was kind of just absent-minded almost. And this, it feels like you actually get a marginal advantage by getting these cards. And I think that's just, it's like, you know, leveling up your character. You become, you know, it's a role-playing game almost in a way. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the guild pack, like in terms of just like deck construction during RTR was cool, but they, you know, didn't really do anything like hell vaulty. That whole maze run thing was just kind of underwhelming because you were done after a few rounds. But I'm thinking this is actually going to be pretty exciting, and people like to level up characters, so this will be good.
Yeah, I mean, do you guys like the fact that it's, you know, multi-part throughout going through the whole block?
Yeah, absolutely, because it'll encourage people to play all the events too.
Yeah, so, I definitely think they're doing something right. Because, like, GP Vegas was huge. The last few GPs have just been getting outrageously big. So, obviously, people are getting interested some way, somehow, and I think those are seriously contributing by doing, like, some really fun, you know, events that they hear about. Like, you know, Saturday, your friend goes to a pre-release, and they tell a non-magic friend, you know, oh, I joined a guild, and it was, you know, I did this and this, and I was an elf. And then we beat a fucking dragon down, and then... Then Sunday they're like, oh, well, you know, I'll join you. And I think with like the Theros set, I think they're going to really hone it down. Like fine edge everything. And it's going to be a really like fun little event. I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, as someone who is, you know, more, I guess has a little more fun with the flavor part of it than, you know, maybe those of us who are just all about, you know, winning tournaments do. Is that sort of the sort of thing that appeals to you, Christine, when they do these, you know, when they make the pre-release and release events bigger than just a tournament?
Oh, yeah. Like, it actually gives me a purpose. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you guys have the purpose of winning, of getting that special promo, you know? Like, where's my little special thing? So now they finally give me a purpose at a pre-release.
So are you going to go play or are you going to go cosplay?
I actually do both at the pre-release. I'm usually able to actually... sit down and relax and not get asked like 50 million times, hey, can I get a picture? Oh, hi. Are you Elspeth? No. I'm not a Royal Aquarii. That just kind of looks like Elspeth. But I always play at my local pre-release because everybody's pretty, used to me now. So I'm able to do it.
That's good.
Yeah.
So have you decided, like, do you know anything advanced? Did they kind of do what they did with, Amara and Taeza and kind of give you some stuff in advance so you can plan ahead for your costume to be ready for when the block is released?
Yeah. So the weather today was amazing.
Oh, okay. You're not even allowed to say whether that happened. I gotcha.
Quit digging, Jason.
Jason's just trying to get all the secrets out, man.
I'm not even trying to dig. Like, that happened before, so.
Yeah, well, just base it.
I was very lucky and very blessed, and I thank Wizards very much for that opportunity. It was amazing.
I think it was a very good idea on their part to incorporate someone like you that is going to do that anyway, but to actually kind of almost spoil a character by having showing your costume. I thought that was a great idea. So you can't say whether or not they did that again, but I hope they did that again. I will say that.
Right. Well, do we want to talk about, there was some, let's talk about things we can actually talk about. There was a kind of a new breakout deck this week, and that being the elves deck that got some people in trouble or didn't get them in enough trouble, depending on your point of view. We want to get into, that situation that happened down at the PTQ in Houston?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So who wants to take that?
I don't know much, so tell me.
Okay, well, I wrote about it today in my article, which will have been up already by now. So anyway, what happened was there was a gentleman who was playing in a PTQ in Houston. There were about 280 people, so they were doing about 9 rounds. Allegedly, during round like 5 or 6, he had what I read on the initial post in the MTG Salvation forums was the guy had a whopping 4 Elvish Arc Druids in play already, and somehow hadn't won the game. But then he used Yarrick's +1 and revealed number 5, which is a good way to get caught. So 5 Elvish Arc Druids in the deck is a lot. So he was deck checked on the spot and found to have 6 Elvish Arc Druids and 2 Elvish Mystics when his deck red sheet said 4 and 4. And according to the MTG Salvation post, the guy kind of said, yeah, well, my buddy was supposed to give me some Elvish Mystics. And that was like all he said in his own defense. And the judge did not DQ him, but only gave him a game loss. And he went on to win it. And people were sharpening their pitchforks and ready to like, oh, this is, you know, there's no justice. This guy, he got away with it. Now he's going to fly to Dublin on the Wizard's dime and all this. And the head judge of the event actually came back and did a post where he said, no, the guy bought the event at the, he bought the deck at the event and basically just kind of sleeved it and shuffled up. You know, we didn't think that he cheated. It wasn't appropriate to give him a disqualification, and his deck matched the list he registered for the rest of the tournament. So he didn't cheat from when he was deck checked on. You know, he got the game loss, still won that match and still, you know, won the event out. So, you know, he didn't cheat after his deck reg error was caught. So they didn't think it was, appropriate. I guess the head judge didn't think the rules prescribed a disqualification for that infraction. So what people are saying now is it sets a terrible precedent because you can just kind of, you know, jam 6 of a card in your deck. And if you get caught, you'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know, game loss. And then, you know, then play the rest of the tournament legit. So, what do you guys think about, just about what the judge did in giving him a game loss?
I think they weighed out more. I think they had more evidence there that they could identify that he did buy the deck probably on site. Instead of just taking his word for it.
They had someone verify that. But I mean, at the same time, I think the judge made the right call because you don't want to DQ someone who you're not confident is cheating, especially when there's some evidence to back up his story. On the other hand, this is not a new player from what I understand, because they talk about how he had, you know, this was his common practice for PTQs was to buy decks the morning of. Okay, so that means he's played multiple PTQs. So, you know, in my experience playing, if you go 5 rounds, you should notice whether or not there's more than 4 copies of a card in your deck during sideboard.
When you're sideboarding, yeah.
Or at the beginning when they say, double check your deck red sheets, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, no. See, that's just what I don't understand. Like, how did he play so many rounds without ever, like, I call bullshit on that.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that's fucking ridiculous.
I'm sure he noticed and then didn't say anything, and
which is still the same thing, still cheating. Like,
so noticed, like, if he'd noticed, like, maybe he's sideboarding after round one, he goes, that's a lot of Arc Druids, and told a judge, like, you won't get ever DQ'd for that. Most likely. So, like, basically, fact that he got a wrist slap when he was caught kind of incentivizes people to be honest, I would think, if the infraction is going to be, you know, just as lax if you're caught as when you turn yourself in. So, the thing that tripped me up initially is if the guy really had 4 Arc Druids in play, like, if you're cheating, you're not going to use Garrick's +1 there. You're not going to use Garrick's +1.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna be like, I don't want to reveal anything out of my deck. Like, if you draw another Arc Druid, you don't windmill it. So why would you, like, take the risk of revealing one? So that, but the head judge, when he wrote it up, didn't indicate that he had 4 Arc Druids in play. He said there were some number of Arc Druids in play, and whatever happened, something was shady though, because they deck checked him mid-game. Like, after he did that Garrick activation, they deck checked him there, from what I understand. So, there's a lot of misinformation about it, so I didn't really want to take a position on it necessarily, because I wasn't there. Like, the head judge kind of wrote a post explaining himself, and the only issue really that I have is the precedent it sets, and I'm not really sure what seeing this guy basically get a game loss on his way to winning the whole event that says to people.
Yeah, and then he got an additional game loss in the top 4 because his checklist cards were not marked. Like, he only had 1 flip card in his deck, but he had checklist cards in the sideboard that weren't marked. So he got a game loss in the semifinals too, and still went on to win.
Wow.
Which is great and everything for this guy, but like, Jason said, it's a bad precedent because even if this guy, you know, truly was just a victim of circumstance and, you know, wasn't careful enough with his deck and all of that, and that's all true, and it wasn't, you know, malicious, like, that doesn't mean other people can't take advantage of what happened.
Yeah, there's so, other less scrupulous people that can see this as an advantage that they can press. Right.
I mean, this may sound kind of harsh and draconian, but I don't have a problem with somebody getting disqualified for being extra sloppy. Because maybe he didn't cheat, but this guy was pretty sloppy with the blank checklist cards and the regging the deck that morning and not going through and filling out. Because when I fill out the deck reg sheet, I put everything out, you know? I'm like, I put on my four Rancors everybody. In a pile, my four Elves, my four Arcdruids. I would have noticed that there were six when I registered the deck. Everybody. So this guy did a bunch of sloppy stuff. Like, I heard he was trying to use Mutavault to block Stromkirk Noble, stuff like that. Yeah. Just, like, if it's not cheating, it's still sloppy. I don't have a problem with someone just being disqualified for being sloppy, because the tournament runs smoother for everybody if you play carefully.
What if you show up sloppy drunk? Is there a problem with that?
That is a problem.
Are you sloppy just to be, like, nice right now? Is that what you're...
It's not a euphemism for, like, playing terrible. It's just, like, the stuff he cut corners and just, like, you know, not taking the 2 seconds to fill out the circles and the checklist card. That's, if it's not cheating, the best thing you can say about him is that it was lazy and he shouldn't have done it. You know, so, like, he's still... I don't have a problem with someone with a bunch of infractions like that stacking up. Even if the guy didn't cheat, I don't have a problem with him getting DQ'd for, like, you can't do this. You're, like, messing up everybody's day when you keep doing stuff like this.
Yeah, so the sloppy defense, I'm just a sloppy player, is, like, the defense most commonly used by people who have been, in fact, caught cheating. Like, I'm a pretty sloppy player, but, like, those things don't, like, it's not to the point I'm playing 6 Archdruids in my deck. Like, you know, like, everyone has to double check that stuff. Like, that's just so over the line to me.
Burton Cheney used a sloppy defense.
Right. That's my point. And, like,
no, don't bring up the Bertuccini.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of people say if they get caught cheating is, oh, I'm just a sloppy player, so I didn't notice. And, you know, like, I mean, sometimes it can be true, but like I say, it's just a lot of stuff that adds up. And
it just looks wrong. And
it's a PTQ.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't be sloppy at a PTQ because, like, those infractions should be dealt with severely so people don't pull stuff like that all day.
Move on. He cheated. We're done here.
Yeah.
Just walk away.
The dangerous precedent. So, yeah.
So what was this Todd Anderson shit you were talking about?
Okay. So this is the story on Todd Anderson this week. At the Star City Invitational last weekend, somebody walked up to Todd Anderson and had like a dozen Todd Anderson tokens and said, hey, can you sign these for me? And Todd was like, sure. So he signs them all. The guy walks a couple feet away, starts ripping them all up and throwing them on the ground and like shit talking Todd Anderson in front of his friends. So it was done very maliciously, and Todd got pretty upset about it. And then the word that comes out is that this guy was permabanned, lifetime banned from all Star City events. And this created a Twitter storm of controversy. People saying that he shouldn't be banned when cheaters aren't banned from events. So that's kind of the situation. There's been some misinformation for what I understand. And the guy basically came on and gave his side of it, which was, I wouldn't disagree with the ban. I did it to make Todd Anderson feel bad because I think I'm better at Magic than him and he just gets lucky. Is literally what the guy said.
Wow.
The big Facebook post, you know, where everyone's arguing about it. But yeah, that was his actual defense. Since then, I mean, this is now 2 days later because we're recording this on a Tuesday. It's come out that he wasn't actually lifetime banned. And I'm not really sure where that information came from in the first place, but that's basically the argument. I mean, it's kind of irrelevant, but the argument was that, you know, should people be banned for things like that from events?
Yeah.
See, my thing is I'm very anti-banning and all that. Like I'm just against that. But in this situation, you can take that as a threat or a provocative, you know, move where how do you respond to that? Like you just beat the shit out of the guy. So it's like, you know, it's not a good situation that you're going to have at a family event. So I think if you're going to do that type of things, then you're taking it to basically where you want to fight. So it's just, I think,
right,
it's treated as such.
Yeah, people were coming to his defense, not saying what he did was right, but saying, oh, you shouldn't ban them for this. You know, it's free speech, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God, I know. The worst thing about stuff like this is when people bring up the fucking First Amendment.
Yeah.
Like they're constitutional lawyers.
Okay.
This is a private event run by a organization, a company that has the right to do whatever they want and refuse service to anyone they want. If you go in there and do that and look, you know, behave in that manner, why would anyone want you there? I mean,
grown ass men and women mostly playing a game where you're some mystical, like, magical person shooting spells and giant monsters at another mystical planeswalker person.
There, way to put it in perspective.
Are you
magic anymore.
Like, are you fucking, like, kidding me? Like, to sit there and then, like, bring it down, like, pretty much to that level of thought process.
Yeah.
By acting like a fucking child.
And who does it? Like, the problem is that some people are casting, oh, he was trying to be funny, he was trolling. It's he was actually just being mean. Like, why
No,
would you
he straight up said it was malicious intent.
Yeah, that's...
I wanted to make him feel bad.
And he's
bad.
Not DC Iron Man. He can play in Magic tournaments. He just can't go to the Star City events, allegedly. Now, I guess he's not banned. But, you know, Star City can ban whoever they want from their events. And I would not want somebody in an event who behaves like that. If somebody walked into my office and did that to me, I wouldn't want them there anymore.
See, as great as this Magic community is, there's a lot of shitty people.
Oh, totally.
If you listen to the A-Team, they definitely dived into it, you know, and so it's just like, it's discouraging, but you know, that's why we gotta get the cool people together and just try to have fun.
And that's why they should ban those people, to discourage that type of behavior and show it's not okay to be an asshole.
Yeah.
And even Marcel says that, you know, he's against banning in most cases, but correct me if I'm wrong, Marcel, I think when the whole Dr. Eightsides controversy happened, you were pretty squarely on the side of let's not have this guy at events. Am I correct in remembering it that way?
I thought it was heavy-handed. I think there should have been a punishment for Dr. Eightsides, but I think like a 6-month ban for what happened, I just thought was overboard, and then the policing of the actual Twitter, I was completely against. I mean, looking at it, I could understand, and he kind of went off the deep end later, so I don't know, maybe it's just a character trait, but yeah, I'm just against, you know, pretty much.
Why are you against the banning? Cause see, I'm like the opposite. I've seen all of these and I've been like, yeah, they should totally not play Magic or not be allowed to, because they've pretty much handed over, revoked their right to by acting in such a way.
Yeah, well, as far as the 6 months, I just think that was just a little over the top. I mean, he attacked people with the pitchers, but it wasn't a physical attack, and there's people that cheat that got less time than that.
It still made people feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
going to Oh yeah, absolutely. I was embarrassed for those people.
Yeah, I would feel terrible. I saw another Elspeth cosplayer, I'd never go online, take a picture and go, look at this ugly bitch. Cause it's just like, that's not cool. We're all playing a game that we all obviously like. We have something in common. We're at a place to, like, celebrate that in a way and all share in that same interest. So don't shit on somebody's good day by, like, bringing up something like they're ugly or something. That's...
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, it was a real shitty thing he did. I'm not saying that it was justified or what he did was cool or anything like that, but I'm just saying for someone that gets cheating, gets a less of a ban, it just seems out of proportion with that.
What does cheating do to other people?
Yeah, compared to like mentally abusing somebody and then just like
if you cheat and you beat somebody because you cheated, like you diminished their tournament experience. You kind of robbed them of a good tournament experience. And that's why people don't like cheating. The same thing is true if you like publicly shame somebody by taking a picture of them and putting a shitty caption on it. It's the same thing. Like you are upsetting the community, like the spirit of community and making these people reluctant to come to future events. And that's what Wizards needs to protect. They need to want to make it a place where people will want to come to future events and feel like it's a safe community. So whether you're in Todd Anderson's face or you're taking pictures of people and putting shitty captions or
Or you're cheating.
Or trying to rip off an elf's ear when she's just trying to have a good time. I'll find
Oh, man. I heard about that.
I'm sure that you've got a different perspective because you probably go online and see some shitty comments people leave about you or like, people say stuff. You're like, why are you here cosplaying? This isn't... Or, like, I'm not even sure what you hear, but you probably have a different perspective than the rest of us. Yeah, I'm sure it would actually probably make me really sad to be in the same community as those people.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, that's why I like posted like the other day. Like you get one, like you get, I do. I get like a lot of love from the community. It's amazing, but like the shitty comments like add up after a while, and you're just like, damn, I can't believe.
Why do I bother? Yeah.
Well, just like I can't. Yeah, like why do I bother? And like, how do I share the same interest with a person like this? And just like fucking hate this community, you know? You have like those moments where you're just like, I'm done.
Yeah, I think it's just you can't. It's sad that you just can't go anywhere without there being some amount of immature people and people who just, you know, feel bad and want to take that out on other people.
Especially a game with just grown adults, mostly. You know?
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't know, but I will find that Asian boy. Man. Guy.
Yeah.
With the guy that grabbed your ears?
Mm-hmm. I'll find you sooner or later.
Maybe he just wanted a souvenir.
I don't know.
Maybe he just wanted to... Maybe you just wanted to be a dick, and it's unfortunately what it comes down to sometimes.
Yeah. You know, in a lot of ways, like, we are, it is a little bit better in the Magic community because people are going to be less of a dick face-to-face than they are hiding behind a keyboard. So, like, I bet there's a larger percentage of people that would say something shitty on, like, League of Legends or something like that than would actually face-to-face. So, it's a little bit better having to, like, physically interact with people because they're a lot less brave, you know, when they actually have to do something to your face. But it's a lot worse, you know, because it was pretty brazen to rip up those tokens right in front of Todd Anderson.
Yeah, that was just, I don't know.
It seems like, why would you even bother?
Yeah, it just, like, it's so ridiculous to me. Like, because you have to buy those tokens, don't you?
Yeah.
So he paid straight cash money. Like, that's some strong feeling right there to, like, literally take money and rip it up in somebody's face and just, like, I did this because you suck.
To take the time to get it signed, that's just, like, you know, that's...
Yeah, that was really weird. A person probably should seek medical help.
But we're talking about it because it doesn't happen all that often. Like, I guess we're kind of lucky that that's such a rare occurrence that the community is shocked. So as much as we can be like, man, this community is full of shitty people, it's really not, or this wouldn't be a big deal.
No, like, it's not. There's a ton of amazing people.
I would say it's mostly good.
And yeah, it really is.
People are on their best behavior because, again, they're interacting with people in person. So, you know, as much as, like, one incident can bring all of, like, Magic, the whole community to a screeching halt like the Todd Anderson thing did today, at the same time, it happens infrequently enough that...
Yeah, and I think we've all really learned from it too, and move on to better things, honestly. Because every time something like this happens, you never hear about it happening again. You know,
that's true. It gets dealt with swiftly.
Yeah, like for the most,
doesn't allow it.
Yeah, so I don't know. At least it's that kind of behavior has been made aware of and shown that for the most part we don't like it. So it had a purpose, I guess. Ridiculous one, but. It happened. So anyways.
So any finance talk we want to get in before we close this up? Is there any cards that you're looking at yourself, Christine, that you're excited about? Or are you waiting to buy or you're looking at?
No, I'm just going to save up four Theros. And cosplay is expensive, so probably won't be that much. It'll just be singles for my EDH deck as usual.
Gotcha. Nothing about M14 is exciting to you? It's kind of
boring. No, you know what? Like, I literally read, like, the entire spoiler, and I was like, oh, I'm cool. Like, I'm good. I was like, you know, like, the few cards that I won, I was like, oh, you know, that would be cool and all, but I have, like, a giant, like, lance/spear that I have to make here, so...
Priorities. It's all about priorities.
So, yeah, like, I actually played Magic this weekend. Which was pretty shocking. I showed up at the PTQ and like everyone saw me with a deck red sheet. They're like, you're playing? Oh my god. Like it was, It's pretty funny. I guess I've really gotten a reputation for a guy who just shows up to trade or, you know, mostly just sit there and bullshit. So I did play, and I played that deck, the Archdruid deck, and I was crater hoofing people. It was a pretty good time. So I got to thinking, I'm like, man, Garrick is really good in this deck. So if you'll remember, Garrick was a card we weren't super excited about initially, because it was like, great, what are you going to cheat into play? Spine Worm or a 6-drop? Like, great, you paid 6 mana to put in a 6-drop. Congratulations on your mana ramping. But it's so good in this deck, I was like crater hoofing people on turn 4. And it was just insane. Like, if you got the Garrick and the crater hoof and the mana elves to ramp him out, like, you were getting there super early in the game, which is why the deck wins early in the game. But I'm kind of thinking, you're losing Archdruid on rotation, you're losing Arbor Elf on rotation, Craterhoof's gone with Avacyn. Does Garrick have a home, you know, post-rotation? should we be dumping? Yeah, well, does he have a deck? Is there any reason to play him after the rotation? So I don't know if you want to pick him up, especially because he's still $30 on Star City.
Yeah, I would.
Oh God! Yeah, do you guys really use Star City?
No, actually, we tend to use Cool Stuff Inc. for prices.
Okay.
Which is a good site to use.
Like, who seriously does use Star City? Everybody's like, here's like the regular price, and then here's the mystical price that is Star City Games.
Perfect.
How would you like to trade?
Well, my cards are Star City, and yours are TCG Mid.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how that works.
But you have to drive 2 hours to come pick them up from me so I can sell my cars to you at Star City prices. Every eBay sale ever, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I think you can get Garrick's for about 18 on TCG Player low. Like, that's what I sold mine for because I'm just getting into TCG Player and I wanted to be the cheapest. So I don't even know if you want to pick them up around 18, because what do you think, Marcel? Can I get a second opinion? What do you think about Garrick? Is it going to go down? Is it going to stay where it is?
He'll go down.
Can it possibly maintain?
He's only going to be in that one deck, and maybe, I think I've seen him in a Bant deck. That was pretty interesting. I think, actually Todd Anderson was playing with it, or it was Brad Nelson, one of the two. They had like a duel. So I think there's some possibilities for Garrick. But I mean, if you look at the other Planeswalkers that came out brand new and just how they played, I don't think that he's going to maintain that high value. You could probably go down to 12, 10. I don't know. Unless he really has legs and he's really doing well. But this 12 mana Planeswalker is just, it's too insane. I don't think he's going to hold that value that long. It's all about the hype.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, as good as he is in that deck and as much fun as it is to like have a Planeswalker that you can plus one and draw multiple cards. Because someone's saying, hey, you should probably run Garrick, the M13 Garrick, because you need card draw in your deck. I'm like, Garrick Collar of Beast draws you cards. He draws quite a few cards. I actually, with 1+1, I must not have shuffled correctly because I got 4 Predator Oozes in a plant, in a forest. So that was pretty good. So anytime you draw 4 Predator Oozes for 6 mana, that's quite solid. I just don't know if I would want him in any other deck because there's not much worth cheating into play and paying 6 mana for a Planeswalker where you're not playing any creatures that turn seems, I don't know, kind of underwhelming. When we lose Craterhoof Behemoth, I don't really think there's anything I want to be putting into play.
Okay.
Is there anything else from M14 that you want to reevaluate after this weekend?
I mean, I'm just looking at the Moto prices and everything's just crashing. But again, that's just because pre-release is over and we now have entered into the draft period, so you're going to start seeing prices crash regardless. But I guess the high prices were at 25 with the between Garruk and the Hydra and the Archangel, and now we have Garruk at about 14, Hydra at about 13.50, and Archangel at 12, so that's pretty much where those are going. We don't have any super high mythics going right now. So.
Now, Fiendslayer seems pretty high. Fiendslayer is about where the Lifebane Zombie is. I think Lifebane Zombie's price is based on sustainable playability. I think Fiendslayer Paladin's high price is based solely on him being in Bant Hexproof. And I think if you have to run him out naked and just run him as a 2/2 at creatures, I don't think you're going to want to bother. He's kind of underwhelming. I think we initially kind of said he was a bad Paladin in Vec. And I think outside of auras, he probably still is.
Yeah, but I played against him. He's just not very scary at all. Just like
he was silly in Banoras though. Like you suit him up and it just everything you play is an unflinching courage, and it's really hard to lose the damage race at that point. Now, I think if the one possibility I could see, and this doesn't seem super likely because they seem like two bad cards, but if people wanted to run a combination of Haunted Plate Mail and him, like Haunted Plate Mail and Fiend Slayer makes, like, you build a budget Bane Slayer basically, but then if they wrath your board, they've still got to contend with your 4/4. So that seems like a possibility, but I just, players, no, seriously, I've heard stupider stuff than that. So
I'm sure you have.
A lot of players locally, were picking up Haunted Plate Mail. So that would be a card maybe you watch. It's like bulk right now. So, if we start to get indications after rotation that it could actually be playable, that might be something you want to be prepared to pick up a bunch of at bulk.
Because if that goes from bulk. I see Haunted Plate Mail go up, but I don't see the Fiend Slayer Paladin being the driving force behind that. But the Haunted Plate Mail does look kind of juicy, and there's potential for that to be good.
Sure, but like what, but people are talking about Haunted Plate Mail and control decks, but like why would you bother? Cause you already have, you know, why would you be a control deck that isn't running Aetherling? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's more a token deck, I would say. I don't know. I really just gotta look at it, but I don't think it's positioned right now. But it's potential. It has potential in the future. That's definitely true though.
And, I think there's a possibility that Trading Post in conjunction with Ratchet Bomb could keep some token stuff at bay. So I know Ryan was really excited about Sign of Itugazi, and I want to be excited about it, but I think we need to do a little testing and see if, Trading Post Ratchet Bomb is going to be able to keep that down.
I actually played a really sick deck online. I've been playing Golgari Control, and I love that deck, like, insanely. But, someone had an actual, Trading Post blue-black deck, a lot of control, and then, they had a Rune Chanter's Pike, along with goat tokens from the Trading Post, and it was pretty, pretty hard to defeat it, so it's pretty insane. But, let's wrap up this episode. We got Christine, she wants to say goodbye. You want to tell everyone how they can find you? What podcast you're on?
Just look up C, the letter C, Sprinkle, Run, on the internets, and you will find me. I swear. Just look for Elspeth Cosplay. That's me, right there. The only one.
The one and only.
I think I did a who to follow about Christine.
Yeah, you did.
A little while back, and I pretty much stalked her real good for, for there, all of the different places you can find her stuff. So if you go there, there's a lot of good links for you.
Yeah, I actually really liked that article. I had like one moment of like clairvoyance where I actually sounded smart for a second. So that was a great article.
Well, thanks very much. So, it was real easy to write because I just basically interviewed you and then, hey, here's what she said. So if you look that up on Gathering Magic in the archives, it's actually got a link to what, like your Tumblr maybe?
Yeah, I think like I don't know. I think it's got enough. It's got what you want.
Yeah, you're all over the net with all of your cosplay. And so, it's not just magic stuff she does too. So if you're into nerddom at all, she did a really convincing April O'Neil at Anime Expo, and there's some other good stuff in there. Misty from Pokemon, I think, was a good one. Some anime stuff. Yeah, there's something for everybody. Cause I know, you know, even though we're all magic nerds, we're not just interested in one thing. So there's all kind of stuff on, and I'll just put a link in the show notes. How about that?
Cool. Thanks.
No problem. Thanks for coming on our podcast.
Yeah. Thank you. I hope I didn't like mess it up or anything.
I
wasn't too awkward. I hope I didn't even ask you guys if I could swear on here, and I felt kind of bad.
Actually, we got to ruin it, and we got to beep out a lot of the cast, and like we're at about pretty much everything you talked about, and piece it together. So.
He's kidding.
Fuck it.
That's a good note to end on.
But thank you guys so much for letting me come on here and talk about whatever. It was awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. You guys have a good night.
Good night, and go crush the raids.
Oh, yep. Got to. Thank you. All right. Bye.
Yep. And this is Brainstorm Brewery. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week, and we'll be having some juiciness.
What does that even mean?
It means there's gonna be wrapped meat.
Wrapped meat. Oh, okay. I get it. Are we gonna continue to be cryptic, or are we gonna come out and say who our guest is next time?
Oh no, we can't. We're not gonna say our guest.
All right, that's good. Wrapped meat is enough of a clue. So.
Encased meat, you can say.
Encased meat. Everybody, you can speculate all you want because we encourage speculation on this podcast.
It's Nordic. Nordic encased meat, right?
Aha, fantastic. All right. Well, this has been Brainstorm Brewery. People are dropping like flies. First Corbin, then Christine. It's now a staring contest between me and Marcel to see who will sign up first.
And it's Jason.
It's me. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.